quite interesting to be in wonder about it, and then we find stuff out. And then the author, E.J., goes on to say, a lot of this is too complicated for the beginner. Obviously, we cannot begin with the observation of thoughts or emotions. The machine has no emotions. On the other hand, the motor centrum expresses its manifestations openly, and they remain observable for a relatively long period of time. The manifestations of the motor centrum can be observed just by simple observation of the machine's ordinary activities, using that form of attention ordinarily available to us without special training, which is the attention of the head brain. In other words, you can see your hand move. You can see this. You can see this. You can see how you move. You can see these manifestations, okay? You are able to see that. That's the point. And I think that that is a brilliantly brilliant way to put it. And it's also very frightening because in a certain way, then how can you, what excuse do you have? I mean, it's right in front of you. You can observe, and sometimes you have friends to help you observe. And I use the words loosely.
So when you say, what excuse do you have, is this one of the endless contemplations for negative manifestation?
If the procrastination is,
Happy Mr. Singh, mirrors are not my friends.
Pardon?
Happy Mr. Singh, mirrors are not my friends.
Yeah, we're going to get to that. And I'll tell you something. You know, if you're in a group and you're working with a group at all in any form, they are your mirror. And it's a very interesting thing. Do you remember the thing in the Bible about the, you see something in somebody else and not the mote in your own eye, or the, you know, the, you see a speck in someone else's eye and you don't see the log in your own eye? Well, that's what we're talking about. And one exercise I thought of when I was walking, going through this chapter, is I said, okay, I know we're going to be asleep to observing our own physical manifestations, so observe somebody else's. And what does their, you look at them and you go, she's just doing that right now. Oh, that's his way of doing blankety blank. And suddenly it's real obvious to you how they manifest. Okay, let's take about, you about ready? We're going to do a quick tape change right now. So we're going to wait for about a minute and 32 seconds. So I'm going to continue for about 3 or 4 more minutes, if that's okay. And then I'm just on the bottom of page 42. We can purify our organic self somewhat. Your comments were very good, by the way. If you can... Oh. You have to stay. Okay. There's just side dialogue. We can purify our organic self somewhat by forcing it to fast from food and rid itself of toxic substances.
Can you get back toward the mic there?
I'm right on the mic. Okay, how's that?
Good.
Okay, that was because I had the book in front of it. Okay.
Funny how that works.
We can also learn to fast in a very different way, as the pupils in an ancient school once did. We can fast from the unwilled appearances of unconscious manifestations, negative emotions originating in the motor centrum. Comments, questions, thoughts, expansions. Should I read it again?
Read it again, and I have a comment.
We can fast from the unwilled appearances of unconscious manifestations, negative emotions originating in the motor centrum.
So What that brings up for me, which is I'm sure part of one of my negative manifestations, and Path World is saying I didn't get it, so keep us posted whether you get it or whether you have another question as we go on a little bit more, Path World. So what comes up for me when I think about fasting from or trying to abstain from demonstrating my negativity or negative reactions on the outside is that it's so difficult, and I don't want to just become repressed or hide them out or get to the point where I can't work with them because I'm not aware of them, and that's a very different kind of a thing. Like, some people are really good at that, and some people can take it and go inside with it but hide it from themselves at the same time, and then it doesn't show up. And then others of us, if we try to contain it, which I think is more the point of the exercise, then there's it is like a pressure cooker, all of that feeling and energy all build up inside, and they get really intense, and then the negative emotions, to me, seem to get more powerful, but obviously more obvious and more intense. And as they become more intense, then I find that I have to practice something like parting the Red Seas in order to do something so that I don't end up having like outbursts as I hold all of that inside me.
Okay.
So, and it moves from organ to organ.
Let's read it again, okay? We're going to read it, and we're going to read it with more and take it as exactly as it's written. And I'll make the comments, because what you're saying is the trap. We're going to fast or consider fasting from the unwilled appearances of unconscious manifestations. Now, what is the definition of negative emotions?
Well, that's what Silverdale was saying earlier about.
Yeah. So we have the negative emotion is the unconscious manifestation of anything, whether it's the so-called the mental centrum, the emotional centrum, or the moving, any of those unconscious things. So what are we going to do? We're talking about here the unwilled appearances, the unconscious manifestations of the motor centrum is what we're looking at right now. Now we're going to ease into, because it doesn't say suppress. So you're walking a very fine line. And yes, you are. But that's part of what the difficulty of the work is. It's the subtlety. It's developing a subtlety of the sensing mechanism to have a sense that you're doing it in an organic manner. Maybe the next paragraph will help us. Make a list categorizing these manifestations of the machine as if you were assembling the data for an encyclopedia of all the motor centrum manifestations of your particular machine. Keep this list. Eventually, you will use it for further exercises. Pay special attention to that manifestation which seems most precious to the machine's self-esteem, keeping in mind that you are the most interested in that particular manifestation under which the machine buries its feelings of personal insecurity. Now, I'd like at this point for all of us, let's just say somebody, this hypothetical person, has manifestations which are precious to the machine's self-esteem. Give me some examples of what that might be.
Let me get caught up with the past comments, and then we'll go there.
Okay, but I'd like to see a list. But
okay.
Go ahead.
So you can read the question again in a moment after I read the comment. So Happy Mist was saying Stepford Wife, and Zazen was saying, what I hear when I become aware, what I hear is when I become aware to inhibit or stop the mechanical or reactive manifestation, then make them say, then make them say, Mother, may I? That's great. That's great. What I hear is when I become aware to inhibit, stop the mechanical or reactive manifestation, then make them say, Mother, may I? And Happiness was saying, unconscious emotions, reactive. And Zazen is saying, my container will, as result, I hope, be able to use, allow to pass, and empower more greatly the essential self.
Okay. So, can I ask for the list now?
Yes, absolutely. Bring your question forward again.
What are some ways in which somebody might, certainly not you, I'm not speaking about anybody here, but somebody might manifest something about the most precious, that is most precious to the machine's self-esteem?
You actually want us to answer this?
Yeah.
Mine is being helpful.
Yours is being helpful?
Being helpful.
So that would be an example of a manifestation that is precious to the machine's self-esteem.
Yeah. And it's okay. A negative manifestation because, you know, I'm trying to, like even when I'm trying to be helpful and I interrupt, or maybe I'm trying to fix somebody, or, you know, on one hand there's like maybe some pride caught up with being helpful, and maybe it makes me feel like I'm a good person, all of that stuff.
So there's like maybe just an ever so slight, tiny little, just a whiff of pride caught up in it.
It depends on the time. Sometimes there's a whole lot of it, and sometimes there's shame, and there's a whole gamut of different emotions that go with it.
Here's another interesting part about that. That's a great example. Thank you. And that works in many of us.
And Silverdale says, I can identify that for myself. And Zazen saying, the way I look physically to others.
Okay, so then there's a... So Teresa and Silverdale are saying that there's an emotional element that comes to bear. It's like it's a pride in this work of self, of helping others. And Zazen telling us that there's a pride, physical appearance, or how he's hoping others view him. And the point I'm trying to make, and we should have a list of about 200 of these by now, but it's going to be things like there's a sneer that somebody has, a tone of voice that you might exhibit, a way you carry yourself, you know, with a big puffed out chest, you know, if you're a big rooster ego, you know, how you drive your car. It's going to take a physical form, how this pride works, how, you know, how you wear your hair, you know, you see people with a big boofy hair, like a big lioness, or, you know, maybe you, so there'll be physical manifestations of this event, this self-esteem protection mechanism.
Or it could be the opposite, where the person has resistance to looking good on the outside and they have to look sloppy. And that can
Then that is an exact example of a physical manifestation. It's an exact manifestation of the machine's self-esteem. I don't care about that so much. In fact, I'm going to prove to you I don't care about it. Well, I'm going to look very plain and simple. I'm going to dress lousy, blah, blah, blah. And just to prove to you that that doesn't matter, how I look and my physical beauty means nothing to me.
Can be superior to everybody because you don't need their approval.
Means so much to that individual that they bury it in that way. It's so precious. So the manifestation should be studied and imitated until you're able to voluntarily invoke it down upon the machine at your own will, even over the counter will of the machine. What did these two paragraphs, can you tell me what these two paragraphs mean?
Well, we still have some comments. Let's try to catch up from the last round where you asked for the list.
Yeah.
Okay. So, for a pause, that example helps me write my list. I'll be up all night long. Aureolus 66, I can identify two, being a good listener and being helpful. For a pause, hey, no making fun of my hair. Happy Miss Mall hair. For a pause, laugh out loud. Zazen, not showing my inner insecurity. Sinhog, taking pride in not being vain. Happy Miss Defiance. Zazen, even though it is obvious, it's something that will be coming, I think, more.
I wish I had the printout of those.
You like, can get one. That's the end. So,
okay, what did the Sinhog say again?
Taking pride in not being vain.
Okay. There will be physical manifestations of how you attempt to appear not vain. That's the point I'm trying to get to. There's a physical way that you do that. There's a physical way that Zazen doesn't let anybody see his insecurity.
Or if people are really, really nice because they have anger underneath and they don't want to show the anger.
Or I can't remember the name, someone said being a good listener. Who was that?
Let me scroll back up.
Wasn't too long ago.
No, I know. But it's really...
Someone said... So that's important to your self-esteem at that moment. You want to appear that you listen. You're really a good listener. And you think, internally, you might be going, this person's a total jerk. But you're going to listen in spite of yourself. So...
I don't know, it seems to have temporarily evaporated.
The key to this exercise and the extreme...
Oh, Aurelis 66, a good listener.
Aurelis 66, thank you. And what did you say exactly?
Just, I identify too, being a good listener and being helpful.
Yeah, so the helpful part came up for three people so far. But I'm telling you, that there are physical manifestations of how you communicate, I am a good listener, I am helpful, I don't have pride in how I dress. There are physical manifestations of that. This is a subtle exercise of observation, okay? But it's potently worth it. It's well worth the good effort. This manifestation then, once we've identified it, should be studied and imitated. So you might have to look in the mirror, okay, and you see, oh, when someone is talking and I sneer at them to let them know I'm superior and I already understand what they're saying and they're a jerk. And so there's a physical manifestation of how you do that.
So Happy Miss says, when I'm helpful, often my voice gets louder. And Silverdale, ditto Happy Miss.
Excellent. So here's an exact example. This is like finding pure gold. This individual, Happy Miss, has found It's like pure gold. And I guarantee you that when people are in a certain state, their movement, for me, their physical movement changes and their voice changes. And there's a physical hook there. I can see it. We can see it in ourselves and each other. The key, so let's just take, let's dissect this whole thing with happiness, since
we Silvertail says, when I observe this, I can only offer myself a benevolent grimace. I can really relate to that.
Right. And you notice that, so this particular exercise then, and the whole question is, what's the exercise of this chapter? Then it says, practice this particular manifestation. So when you sense, this, I'm going to read the whole paragraph, it's worth it. Practice this particular manifestation many times before the mirror until you are sure you have it exactly. Then with the eyes closed, do it again. This time sensing the sensations of the machine so you can invoke it upon the machine without the mirror.
That's, have you done it with the mirror?
Is this not what an actor does? Yeah. And at the same time, we're developing, as it said in the next paragraph, our sensing apparatus. So now, okay, I'm going to jump ahead to page 44. When you are able to duplicate the manifestation by sensation, try another exercise. Magnify those feelings associated with this particular manifestation so that you're able to recognize it with vision, having studied it in the mirror, then by sensing, having studied with the eyes closed, well, sensing its totality, finally by feeling associated with the manifestation. So you get it. You try to grab this physical little thing. You know, whether it's a way that you listen, you might cock your head in a certain way to make sure the person knows you're a good listener, or your voice takes on a very charitable tone when you're helping somebody.
Or a very sincere and earnest look.
A very sincere and earnest look. And you see that you do this. Well, now the trick, it's like you're going to play one better on the machine, because what you're going to do is you're going to sense it. You know what this is like and how it works in you. And what you're going to do is you're going to say, okay, I'm going to do it whenever I want now. Not when that particular circumstance comes up where you go into the mechanicality of it. But rather, you're going to just do it. So you find that manifestation that may work in you, and then you start practicing to do it. So next time, you know, you're helping somebody and you notice your voice go up, make it go up extra. Or you feel the little thing, you overemphasize it in a sense. Not easy to do, right? This is hard. We're not getting this one, are we? It's actually pretty hard. Of course, when we return another time to awaken the machine, even though we may have awakened it before under these periods of unconsciousness, it will be more difficult to awaken the machine in these negative dramas. We see how difficult it is to awaken the machine under the best of circumstances. Just imagine what it would be like to awaken the machine during a period of raging mayhem or hysteria. And really, it's almost impossible to do when you're in that mode. And the containment of expressions of negative emotion of the machine means that before we can really sacrifice anything else, we must sacrifice our own suffering. We often express negativity by casually mentioning problems we have with our outer and inner worlds. Miserable food, not enough of it, miserable weather, it's all wrong, and so on and so forth. We complain, 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 and the voice takes on a very clear and distinct tone at that point. And once you start hearing it, it's just like this racks on your ears, like fingernails on a chalkboard.
Can we talk a little bit about what it means? Can we talk a little bit about what it means to sacrifice our suffering?
Go ahead.
Well,
or did you want me to? Yeah.
I thought all of us. I wasn't thinking of a particular comment, although it is a topic I've talked about a lot at different times with clients, because sometimes the only way to move forward is to sacrifice our suffering. Sometimes our addiction to our suffering is what stands in the way of what we want, and we don't notice how attached we are to the suffering, and these exercises begin to make it demonstrable to ourselves how important that suffering is to us, and that we're maybe holding on to it in a way that doesn't allow us to put something else there in its place. We're mechanical around it.
Well, as long as it remains mechanical, we are subject to the suffering of the reactive machine.
Aureolus 66 is saying there's some pleasure in, sorry David, there's some pleasure in complaining and suffering. It's comfortable. And Happy Mist is saying we can make it our identity.
And we do make it our identity. Because it's familiar. It's familiar, and even though we're complaining, and we get attention when we complain. We get there, you know, people nod, say, oh, yeah, or they have, you know, they have pity on us, and we have self-pity, and which is just another mask. It's another mask for ego. It's just constant. And so the giving up of the suffering really and truly, once again, does not mean the giving up of bad feelings about yourself. It means giving up the mechanicality of it.
Good distinction.
Okay? That's the issue. And if you're willing to do that, then you're going to be forced to give up like things like the complaining out loud and the joyful togetherness that we have in complaining with each other.
Zazen saying it lets off the pressure built up.
Say it again.
It lets off the pressure built up. So if we want to build up pressure to do our inner work, like the pressure cooker, and we complain, then we can release that pressure and not have enough left for our work.
Thank you, yeah. I'm at the bottom of page 46. Anyone at all, even someone whose machine is deeply asleep, even horizontal dead, can see when we feel negative emotions. All our inner world is reflected in these manifestations. Like a contemporary poet, we are not able to keep to ourselves. We have no authority over our not so overly domesticated dogs. If you really believe this about yourself, just make one little experiment. Try to stifle all the involuntary negative manifestations of the machine for just 1 hour and see what happens. If you ever had the idea that these manifestations were voluntary and authentic, boy, are you in for a surprise. Here's an interesting one. All of this, those subtle and not so subtle manifestations of the machine which express personal urgency, importance, self-esteem, piousness, oh, there's a good one, happiness, embarrassment, fear, personal certainty, anything which might camouflage feelings of insecurity, even something as subtle as casual gossip, should be studied carefully for possible voluntarism. I had, many, many years ago, I was here with EJ, and he wanted to go into town. He actually wanted to go into town to buy some ping pong paddles. And he asked me to drive him. Well, that was actually unusual. And often he doesn't travel alone, and so it was very odd. So he gets in my car, we start to drive away, and as we're going, it's a dirt road, and it was bumpy. And so I reached, and my keys were dangling from the ignition, and they were bumping across against the dashboard, or the little metal part of the dashboard, making a clicking sound. Unconsciously, I leaned over and I grabbed the keys so they wouldn't be making that racket. He looked at me and he smiled and he says, "Do you want to get into that?" Something so slight as that, right? It was nothing. But it carried with it a whole chain of internal events for me. I happened to have done it right in front of him. We call the repertoire of all of these negative manifestations of the machine, taken as a whole, the crocodile. You are to actively study this strange creature from now on, completely, closely, in every little detail, exactly as a scientist would study a newly discovered species. If you have a love for science, if you have little love for science, and even less for zoology, paleontology, biology, or any of the other ologies, you could, if you prefer, study the manifestations of the machine in another way, as a role would be studied by an actor, preparing a character for the stage. This should not be too difficult. According to observations, the number of manifestations existing in the human machine repertoire is absurdly limited, and that's actually true. So limited, it is almost impossible to distinguish a human being from a store dummy. In the course of studying the machine, whichever of the two ways you decide, either scientific or theatrical, try to find that particular manifestation, usually something unbelievably trivial, upon which the machine depends the most. It will appear ridiculous to you to even concern yourself with such a trifle. Such a trifle. But to others who know you, it is not at all insignificant. Just by describing this one little feature, you could easily be identified. This little manifestation, as small and unimportant as it is, nevertheless appears many thousands of times each day and is your most customary posture, taken as a fulcrum to give us leverage for the observation of the human biological machine. It is called the chief weakness. The study of the negative manifestations of the machine helps us to record in our higher mental apparatus all those activities originated by the biological machine, but which we now attribute to our own will and initiation. Simple observation will bring about slow change through the influence of the non-phenomenal self, using one of the very few techniques which can change our organic habits without making worse ones in their place. Interesting, huh?
I just want to underscore that happiness was among the negative manifestations because it can underlie insecurity. And it can be an unconscious expression, because there still will be some who listen and think that a negative expression will be something that we would deem as negative rather than merely unconscious or non-voluntary.
Yeah, so non-voluntary happiness is what you're saying.
Right, happiness as a defense, happiness as an appearance in order to gain approval or to make other people comfortable, in order that they don't give us kind of attention that we don't want. And if it's defensive by nature, then it isn't coming from the non-phenomenal self, so it's not really necessarily real happiness. It just, yeah, as the Zen says, a way of hiding.
By definition, once again, the technical definition, if it's mechanical, it's reactive, it's unconscious.
Right.
It is a negative emotion. My question to all of us is, do we have a little bit of a sense of what this exercise is and how to work with it maybe during this next week ahead of us?
Silverdale says, there's no such thing as happiness. There is only a happy nest created by ourself for ourself.
Nice. I'm very excited to see what we come back with next week on this particular exercise. This particular chapter is fundamental for me in how we proceed in the rest of the book. So if you haven't had a chance to read it yourself, read through the chapter. It's worth reading. And take some time and figure out what is that little physical manifestation that works for you. Carry it around in your pocket. Practice it. And then bring it back to us tomorrow, next week, or next time, and we'll see how it works for everybody. I've just forgotten. Next week is the 24th of February, and I'm not going to be able to make it next week. And I was wondering if it's okay. I'd like to go ahead and skip next week, and then we'll start again on the following week, which I think might be really close to the beginning of March.
I'll send out a reminder that on Tuesday night or Wednesday morning that we're skipping the class, and then another reminder the following week that we'll be having the class, and it's a good opportunity for anyone to catch up with any listening or reading that they may have become behind in.
And we have 2 weeks now to work on this particular exercise. So I'm going to take it to heart, and I hope we all do, and see what we come up with. Okay, anything else?
Pathworld, thank you. I have a better understanding now. Zazen, yes, I do have a sense of this exercise. Happiness, yes.
Very good.
Thank you, David. Good information. Okay to skip. Silverdale, thanks, David and Teresa, for a wonderful evening group study. We're getting thank yous from Four Paws, Pathworld, and Zazen. So,
hey, thank you, everybody. Looking forward to seeing you in 2 weeks then.
Blessings, and please put your comments on the website. If you have comments, that would be wonderful to hear them. Thank you, everybody, for coming, and good night.
Night.